Ladies and gentlemen, from the depths of flyover country in the heartland of America, the Kansas City on the other side of the mighty Mo, welcome to Hitting the Bricks with Kathleen, the genealogy show that features your questions and her answers. I am John, your humble hubby host, and on this first episode, we'll be getting to know a bit about the brick hitter herself, Kathleen Brandt. And so now, let's start hitting the bricks. It's December 26th, 2022, a blustery day in Kansas City, Missouri. And yes, that makes a difference to the people who live here, whether it's Missouri or Kansas. We hit a new high this week, I think 23 degrees. How was your commute, Kathleen?
Everything was wonderful because my path was just open and it was just wonderful.
So you're talking about from the bedroom to the office?
Yes, that's exactly that, the path I'm referring to, but thanks for asking.
Well, okay, so I thought what we'd do is with our inaugural episode, we'd get to know who's behind Hitting the Bricks and get to know a bit about Kathleen Brandt.
That's you.
Yes. It is you. Let's see where to start, because I know the answer to a lot of questions, but I think people would be interested. And so, for example, what was your first experience? What got you into genealogy and family history?
Actually, my family. When I was a little girl, my grandfather would talk about it. My maternal grandfather. We would have these epic car rides across Kansas to Oklahoma, northern, the panhandle of Oklahoma. And he would talk about each little town and what cousins lived there and aunts. And for some reason, he talked about three aunts that I did not know of and had never met. And he would talk about other experiences and people he's met. And he made it sound like that was all of the family he had. Now, later, through research, I realized that that family actually had 11 children, and over half of them were boys, but he didn't mention them, only his father and his three aunts.
See, it's interesting because my family is so small, as you know, and I knew my dad had his two sisters, and that was it. He talked about Aunt Dot and Aunt Helen, but I really didn't know much about anybody else.
Yeah, my family's pretty small. I have three first cousins. My mother has three first cousins, and my father has three first cousins.
But your father was an only child, right?
Yes, yeah. He was an only child, and his mother was an only child. So our family's pretty small up to a point, but the generation before that, on my mother's side, there's just two brothers, the Morse brothers. One had 13 children and one had 11.
That grew rapidly. And you didn't have an idea about that when you were a kid.
No one did. I dug them up and they all came.
You mean that figuratively through research, right? You didn't physically dig them up.
I don't want you admitting to any, dig them up.
I don't want you admitting to any felonies out in
no
the open.
No felonies here. You went with me to the big city of Coffeeville and the cemeteries.
Where was that? Where was that one where we went to where we walked through that graveyard and we were so filthy, just the dust.
South Coffeeville, Kansas.
I would not remember a time being that dirty other than being a kid.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
Yeah.
It was because it was so dusty, it was so hot, and it was so miserable, and there were rattlesnake poles everywhere.
That's right. Miserable. You kept on warning me about the rattlesnakes. Great introduction
It was pretty miserable, but I needed to see it, and it was for that side of the family.
So eventually you end up getting into family research. How did you end up with A3 Genealogy, which is your international company that does all sorts of cool research?
Well, I didn't necessarily have a real name for it at that point, but I started writing on a blog. At that point, it was AAA Genealogy, and for Accurate Accessible Answers. And when I was writing on this blog, I was just writing more like journaling my experience and things that I was learning and records that I found. And so it was so much fun just writing for me. And people started seeing it. And I don't really know in my head how Google does that, but they actually populated my articles and people started calling me and asking me for assistance.
So it just kind of took off on its own really organically.
It really did. Well, I started off with military. Mm-hmm. So my favorite research was really military records. I loved military records and what you could find in these records. I mean, I found everything from, you know, slave owners to the Irish side of my family from Rutherford, North Carolina. And all of these people were just so exciting, but I was learning most of them up through military records.
You tied that to the blog. That was back in 2008.
That was in 2008. And I spent a lot of time driving back between Kansas City and St. Louis to the National Archives to pull military records, as well as going to D.C. a lot, which was fun because, you know, we lived there. So I got to see my friends while I was working
That always qualified as a boondoggle to me. For some reason, I was working and you were going back and doing work that included visiting friends that we left back east.
Yeah, let's not be jealous, mister.
Too late. Well, let me ask you this. What is it that you like about research? Not family research, but there's something that really, really makes you tick with researching something.
It's just untangling the mysteries. I mean, it's like doing a crossword puzzle or doing Wordle. Something has to fit and there has to be the right answer. I think it's getting one piece at a time. As you know, I've been working on a great project lately in...
Well, I heard you cheering last night. We were gonna watch a movie last night, and I was having and unfortunately I was thinking it could be rented through Prime. There's a whole thing there where I had rented the wrong movie, and so we were gonna watch a movie last night. But when I found out I couldn't rent the movie we wanted, Kathleen's down in the office, and I'm hearing her kind of hoop and holler like there's a football game on. But it's just her doing research, and so she kind of cheers herself on with you know, you think there's a touchdown, and no, she just found somebody that she was looking for or something.
It was quite exciting. Come on. So, land records were telling me everything I needed to know. And then it would give me more names to research. And as I'm researching, of course, I tell everyone, even in my presentations, every document, you should have at least 3 questions from them. And last night I was getting like 6, 7, and 8 names each document. So that gave me 6, 7, 8 more people. Sooner or later, I pulled the entire family together for 3 generations. So it was really exciting.
So you had
to be there.
Your true Christmas present was breakthroughs in research, actually.
Well, yes, and the Chiefs won, but you know.
Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
The Chiefs game.
The Chiefs game. Yeah, we spent that over at brother's house, and that was a lot of fun.
Too much food.
Yeah, we can't go into it too much without violating confidences, but
that's too much money.
I don't want to give away the FBI issue and things like that. What's a common myth about genealogy that you're constantly having to dispel with people who just started or have just met you and are talking about it, like one of your presentations?
The biggest thing is everything is not online. Everything is not digitized. You have to get off that database that you love so much and go into courthouses and call genealogy societies and search cemeteries, maybe walk them and record them.
So with all this research that you do and that you enjoy, what was your favorite subject in school? Like, and whether it's elementary, high school, college, whatever.
Definitely not history. I was much more into the math and engineering type stuff in college. I was in foreign languages.
Okay, so that seems really off because you're completely immersed in history. I'm just like, was history not one of those favorite courses?
My father is probably just flipping right now in his grave because he was a historian, he's a history teacher, and he loved history. And every vacation, we had to stop at every marker and read them. And well, kind of like I make you do now, but we had to read the markers and follow the different historical information in the AAA books on each town.
Is coming from a person. When we were first married, we took a vacation and I remember we rented a car and we drove to the end of the driveway and we flipped a coin and we said east or west. The coin landed on west and we started driving west. But on on your side of the car, there were like five of those AAA map books, and you read absolutely everything that would have been happening at a certain year and all the contents of them. So I'm not getting that you had a thing against history, that and Ring Baloney. That had to be in the car when we went on any trip.
Ring Baloney, of course yeah. It did. So the first 17 years of our lives, of my life, I was in the car with my parents, my mother, and a librarian who was an archivist, and she would get the AAA books, and that's determined where we were going and where we were stopping, and she would read and teach, and then Dad would fill in the information. I had gone to 48 states before I was 17. And a couple of trips, just me and my mother. But in general, it was all six of us. And so when we got married, it was impressed in my automatic habit. You're going on vacation, get the AAA books. Don't forget to read on it. Teach John a little something while you're at it. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't almost fall asleep ever.
That's terrible.
That never almost happened where I fell asleep while you were reading me out of the AAA book. Yeah.
And I still like doing it. We used to take a tour in every town. I guess I've made you take quite a few tours for quite a few cities now.
Oh, but I would see now you got a convert on that because
you like the tours.
Yeah. Now, okay. If I were, it wouldn't matter where I was traveling. If I were by myself, if I ended up in a city, I don't know. I'm going to take a hop on, hop off because you've got me. You completely converted me on that. That's where you should start any first day in any new city.
Yeah. We did those as kids too. So I guess I really did have a lot of history in my background, but more so because of my family vacations than school. Mm-hmm.
But what was your favorite subject in school?
I would say foreign languages because were easy. And like I said, math, sciences. But when I say sciences, I meant the engineering sciences, not biology, mm-hmm. even though I did like biology. I still don't understand the biological anything, but I did like it.
Don't divulge too much. No, we don't have kids, but that has nothing to do with their lack of understanding of biology. let's talk a bit about your day-to-day. You have a stable of clients that you work with, and often they're in for deep, deep research, and it's not basic stuff. So how do you handle that? What does your day look like?
So I am a brick wall researcher. A3 mm-hmm. Genealogy is a brick wall research company. Very seldom are we doing ancestry type work. I mean, every once in a while we get those requests.
Hey, is that why this is called Hitting the Bricks?
Yes, Hitting the Bricks. That's why it's called Hitting the Bricks.
Because
we're hitting those brick walls.
I've been so confused.
So the brick walls is what I like the most. I like the hard jobs. Now, of course, they can last long. I mean, I've had one client for 4 years. I've had several for three because they have already done a lot of their research, but now they're stuck and they're turning to A3 Genealogy to help them get past this brick wall, which most of the time I find that it's not a real brick wall. It's just that people don't know where to go.
So it's knowing the resources that you have and that's kind of your area where you understand all the different resources.
Well, I wouldn't say all the different resources, even though I did like the sound of that. What I have figured out is in all of research, you know, you might not be able to find the documents you need to corroborate what you're looking for, but you still might find the answers to your questions by finding other documents. So mm-hmm. we're always looking for alternatives. Let's say you might not find a marriage record, mm-hmm. but in a deed book, you might find it where it's recorded for one reason or another, through a dowry, through some other reason. It might be recorded through a passing of an estate or probate. All of this stuff might be found in the strangest of places. So the key is not to leave any stone unturned.
And a lot of those records, I assume, are not digitized. So what do you do in those cases?
Well, sometimes they're not, but the client I was working on last night, we were really looking for a father of a person with a very common name, a Thompson. And there's so many Samuel Thompsons in the area. We're working in Virginia and Kentucky. So what we're looking for is his father. Well, which one is it? the answers were in land deeds, and those were digitized. It was just that most people wouldn't think to read probably about 25 land deeds to find out, and then another 15 or so to prove that that is the right family line and you have the right family group.
And if you can't prove that, how do you write that up? I mean, is somebody paying you to not be successful?
Well, very interesting. Thanks for pushing my business, John.
Yeah. How do you charge for failure?
Oh, wow. So, you know, we have the tool of DNA. Mm-hmm. DNA can definitely be a tool to help us prove or disprove something. Mm-hmm. But we also normally, people don't live in a vacuum. So sometimes we work with a community group or we work with a religious group. The last night I found the same family on the fourth generation back in the earlier 1700s. They were all Quakers. So I found them again in Quaker books. So this allowed me to follow this family across the country all the way to Missouri, even though they started off in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And probably before then, that was Pennsylvania. But I haven't gone that far back, but Virginia, Kentucky, they moved to Indiana and came back to Missouri. So with this following the migratory trails, you normally don't come out empty-handed. I mean, let's say I'm working on an indentured servant and I can see the papers where he was an indentured servant, but I still can't find where in England he was from. So there is when I would turn to DNA.
So DNA can maybe help you over some, say, tumbled bricks on a brick wall. Has DNA ever proven that you were on the wrong trail?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has this past week, mm-hmm. The week right before Christmas.
See, I'm going to just say, these are two or three examples you've given that have happened in the last week. This is Christmas week, holiday week, and you are working way too much.
I'm sorry, honey. But the movie didn't come up.
Yeah, blame me. I couldn't pull that movie off. Oh, well, that's okay.
And there were lots of football games. And there were lots of football games one day. So
that's
I could
true.
Watch.
But this week, I interrupted. So you were saying this week you proved, what is that called? You say you proved a negative?
I proved, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a negative findings. When we're working on a project and we realize we're on the wrong track, that is just as valuable because mm-hmm. it keeps us from going down that wrong track, right? We go back and you know, let's go back and write another research plan and ask the right questions again based on what our findings were. And then you're starting all over with maybe getting on that right track.
It sounds really trying and maybe annoying.
No, it's neither. The ancestors are having fun with me and I'm enjoying it. And these are my clients' ancestors. So the problem with it is that everyone thinks they're doing something wrong in this case, but sometimes we just have to find, well, okay, it's not this one. You know, it's John's father wasn't Isaac or John's father wasn't Stephen. So let's keep going.
The way you kind of framed that is that the ancestors are kind of having fun with you. Do you feel that way in that there's you build a relationship with these long dead people who are no relation to you?
You absolutely do. And that's why I always say genealogy is not about who begat who, because they came from a community. They're here in America with someone, or they came alone and they settled somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that who, what, when, where, and how is so important, and they have the answer, you don't. So I talk to them and they normally reveal the truth.
What are you hoping Hitting the Bricks will give to its listeners?
As far as Hitting the Bricks, I am moving the blog off the blog because the blog, as you know, is an educational blog. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for me. It's for everybody. It's for the A3 genealogy interns and researchers and anyone who wants to use it as a reference. It's a how-to mm-hmm. guide. Every presentation that I give, there's always this line where people are asking where to go, what should they do next? Those kind of questions. What I'd like to do now is to share on this podcast so other people can hear the answers to some of these questions that I know more than one person has.
Well, okay, so that's a perfect place to bring this up. This is our inaugural episode where we're learning a little bit about you, but who's going to be our first person that you're going to talk to?
The first person will be Angela Rodesky.
Angela Rodesky.
Yes, out of Delaware.
Now, everybody should understand that we know Angie. I think she and I bonded over my hatred for the Honey Nut Cheerio Bee, remember right.
That's funny.
I remember getting mercilessly teased because I had issues with bees. It goes a long way back from childhood. But anyway.
You're really sharing a little too much there, John. It's kind of interesting.
All I'm doing is increasing the amount of time I have to edit. But okay, so Angela Rodesky from Delaware, this is going to be a call-in, right? She's going to call
in.
We're going to all chat.
Actually, what I'm looking forward to is people calling in and asking their specific questions. And I think with this kind of a format of the podcast, the answers can be widespread and that will help more than one person. The information can be applied across genealogical projects.
But it does sound like there's a lot of value in that. Okay, so... Well, congratulations to everyone. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for staying. We'd love to hear what you think about the podcast. So stop by our Facebook page at A3 Genealogy and let us know what you think. Is there anything else, Kathleen?
I'm looking forward to joining everybody in the first episode with Angie Rodesky, and we'll see what her question is and walk through it.
Our thanks to Chewy Chewbacca Brandt, our part-time audio technician and full-time bed warmer, for his unwavering lack of interest in anything we're doing. The theme song for Hitting the Bricks was written and performed by Tony Fistknuckle and the Aphids. Watch for them performing, or what security insists on calling loitering, at your local Costco parking lot.